Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, isn't it a fact that as we stand here or sit here today, the current map is constitutional?
I don't propose to opine on the constitutionality of any map. I would only say that the map that we have today is the law until it's changed. I would suspect, deferring to competent counsel present, that it's constitutional until some court says it's not.
Long session yesterday in the Florida Senate dealing with the proposed redistricting maps sponsored by Governor DeSantis and sent to the Senate on Monday and then talked about and voted on yesterday. Senator Daryl Roussan asking the question, is the current map we have, the one that's being changed, is it constitutional? And Don Gates says it's unconstitutional until it's not, which is true. But you also have, just after that, the Calais ruling comes down from the Supreme Court, which seems to strongly suggest, if not outright say, that the current map in Florida is unconstitutional based on the fact that you cannot use race in drawing these districts unless you're using race to remedy a previous deliberate and intentional misuse of race to disadvantage black voters. And Governor DeSantis is arguing the whole reason we're redrawing these districts is because there's a population shift, because 1.8 million people moved into the state since the last 5 years, and past maps were drawn to benefit black voters in order to give them representatives, and we cannot have that. That is unconstitutional against the 15th Amendment, and he anticipated the Supreme Court decision that did come down yesterday, and therefore they're being redrawn in that direction. So are they unconstitutional? Well, and Don Gates is correct about this. Technically, nothing's unconstitutional until a court finds it so. But, you know, we can read the opinions. We can sort of do the law on our own. Carlos Guillermo Smith, this was an interesting moment yesterday. They're in the middle of questions about the districts, the redistricting maps, and...
My question for you is, and this is breaking news, we have just heard that the Supreme Court has dropped a decision on the Louisiana case. None of us have had the opportunity to read it or understand the full implications of this ruling. Do you believe that it's in the best interest of Florida voters and our Constitution to temporarily postpone this bill until we fully understand this ruling?
That's certainly your prerogative. It is the prerogative of the legislature to postpone consideration of this legislation, if you will. My understanding, as is yours, Senator, is that the Calais decision has been rendered by the Supreme Court. But also, as we heard yesterday in the Rules Committee, it is the legal theory of the governor that the Calais decision, no matter how it goes, does not by itself obviate the need for his proposal, but rather that that there are other legal cases that the governor's representatives quoted yesterday, which they believe provide sufficient legal justification for having race-neutral lines drawn. But I take your point that the Calais decision is one that could be studied and might have an effect on the vote that any individual senator might make today.
So it was kind of funny because Smith is asking for a delay so everybody can read the decision and think about what it means, because that is certainly relevant to the conversation that was going to be had. So he moves to have a recess to at least something to, you know, postpone in order to figure this out.
I do believe it would be the responsible thing as a chamber for us to temporarily postpone this bill. I move that we temporarily postpone this bill.
There's a motion on the floor. This is a voice vote. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yay.
Yay.
All those opposed, no.
No.
No. Show the motion fails. Additional questions?
Yeah, so they didn't take a pause, and then they had a conversation, and then a few minutes later, Ben Elbritton, who's the Senate president.
Listen, considering the development that's happened here in the past few minutes, we're going to take a 30-minute break so that our colleagues can review the decision and adjust their questions if they would like. But we're going to take a 30-minute break We will be back here. Let's come back in at 11 o'clock.
So after voting down Guillermo Smith's recommendation that they take a pause, a few minutes later, Ben Albritton's like, you know, we probably ought to just take a pause. You ever have a... It's funnier when you see it in real life, but, you know, like the husband says, you know, hey, let's go to Jackson's, you know, and the wife's like, nah, I don't want to go to Jackson's. Let's go to Fish House. And the husband's like, ah, I don't want to go to Fish House. Where do you want to go? I don't know. We can go to McGuire's and go to McGuire's. And then the husband's like, you know what we should do? We should go to Fish House.
Take and
then
that
the kids
credit.
And then all the kids are like, yeah, yeah, let's go to Fish House. And the wife is like, wait, I just, a minute ago, that was my idea. So anyway, they did take a break and they did come back and talk extensively about it. And my goal this morning is that you understand this momentous decision that was made yesterday, both at the Supreme Court level, what that means for the nation and also here in Florida and what it means for us in Congress and the future. But, you know, there's a lot to talk about. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that every Florida West project is evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers? No accidents to report to you right now or delays. Looks like 98, Highway 90, 29 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are buying a home, selling a home, both, maybe even you want to build a home, you think, why would I need a realtor to build a home? Well, you don't, I mean, you know, they don't need them to build the home, but you might use them to buy a home that's being built for you. You say, but I thought you just buy it straight from the builder. Well, you can. But Christina's always talking about how useful she can be in getting you all the best deals on that purchase because, you know, they're motivated, right? But also, sometimes getting you, you know, better stuff, upgrades on things, the right price to know for sure that you've got it, and to walk you through that process and make sure all of your rights are protected, but also on the back end to make sure that the thing is done right with the blue tape, marking out the things that need to be fixed. Because as a part of the problem sometimes is especially if you're buying your first home, but if you're building home, is you don't want to be rude. You know, most people have a normal human ethical impulse not to be too rude all the time. And part of the problem is you don't know when you can be rude and should be rude. And when you're taking possession of your new home, you should be rude. It's your right. And be as rude as you want to be in the sense of making sure that everything gets fixed. Well, she'll help you with that. That's the point. That's part of why you and even the builders like having somebody who's a professional walk through this process with them. 786-3996 for any kind of a residential home transaction. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you out. All right, back to the conversation being had yesterday in the Senate about the redistricting here in Florida, but also the Calais decision that had just come down from the Supreme Court. By the way, this decision is being so... I should stop being disappointed in people for being who they are. That's one of my rules in life, is don't be disappointed in people who for being who they are, because it's naive to expect them to be something other than who they are. It's part of why I've kind of come to accept Trump, because he drives me crazy, and I know if I keep letting him drive me crazy, and he's going to keep saying things that are who he is, right? You know, but okay, can't you stop being surprised at a certain point? Well, though I will defend the mainstream media a lot for doing good reporting, there's also bias because they sometimes just can't see the bias that's right in front of them. The reporting on this Supreme Court decision yesterday was emphatically along the lines of the Supreme Court guts the Voting Rights Act. That was the over and over and over way that it was portrayed. In fact, if you watch the news last night, it was even portrayed this way. Here, I actually got to open these files because I had just cut them in the break. But let me get these here so I can actually play them for you. The NBC, CBS, ABC, you know, news coverage of this last night was, for the most part, so terribly, horribly biased.
Back here at home to that major Supreme Court ruling involving the Voting Rights Act that could have a significant impact on the midterm elections and beyond.
That's okay, Tom Lamas, but Kelly O'Donnell, who is usually quite good.
The six conservatives on the high court struck down the map of a Louisiana congressional district that is majority black, saying its outline snakes across 200 miles, and that's unconstitutional, they say, because the shape of the district was driven by race. Democrats say this decision weakens the landmark Voting Rights Act of 1965 and threatens equality of representation for black voters.
Now, mostly okay, but still, you know, the idea is that it weakens the Voting Rights Act and it hurts black voters. David Muir on ABC.
Turn now to the major Supreme Court ruling today limiting the landmark Voting Rights Act signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson.
Limiting the Voting Rights Act, or you could say reaffirming the 15th Amendment, because that's what it did. It said don't look at race when you're drawing these things unless you're remedying past racism. I actually thought CBS did the best job of being neutral about it. Tony DeCopel.
Out of a major ruling by the Supreme Court, which today limited the ability of lawmakers to consider race when drawing up districts for voting.
Correct.
The decision focused on the creation of a majority black district in Louisiana,
correct,
which supporters said was necessary and legal under the 1965 Voting Rights Act.
Correct.
But the court said that map itself was unconstitutional.
Yeah. I mean, good job. Look at you doing the facts. Okay. So what the Supreme Court decided was that you can't use race to draw districts either for blacks or against blacks, unless you're fixing maps that had been drawn to hurt blacks. That's it. So if you just draw maps that don't look at race, all good. That's exactly what DeSantis tried to do. At least that was his argument. That was the presentation. And also to accommodate the fact that a lot of people have moved into the state, and that means that some districts are too big compared to other districts, and that means there's been vote dilution because one person, one vote is no longer true. If, you know, one district has 500,000 people and another district has 750,000 people, that's not equal, and therefore you have to fix the maps. All right, so this has been widely criticized as limiting the Voting Rights Act. And yet what's funny about it is it specifically affirmed the Voting Rights Act. If you read the opinion, and you should always at least read the beginnings of them. I mean, I know they're long. It's 90 pages or 60 pages, I guess, if you're doing single space like I do. It's like 100 pages if you do it on the PDF. But the thing specifically reaffirmed the Voting Rights Act, but it said it's been misunderstood all these years. Yes, you can draw districts based on race. It doesn't restrict that, but you can only do it when the I'm reading from the opinion. You can only do this when the evidence supports a strong inference that the state intentionally drew its districts to afford minority voters less opportunity because of their race. Not only does this interpretation follow from the plain text of Chapter 2 of the Voting Rights Act, but it is consistent with the limited authority the 15th Amendment confers. And that's the point. The 15th Amendment says that nobody is supposed to have their vote denied or abridged by the U.S. or any state on account of race or color or condition of prior servitude. All right, so what does this mean for us here in Florida? The governor had anticipated this and had always said drawing districts on the basis of race is wrong. Our Florida Constitution says it's okay to draw boundaries on the basis of race as long as you are not harming minorities. The Supreme Court said you can't harm minorities or harm majorities. You just can't draw on the basis of race. So we have a voting rights amendment that came in, or the Fair Districts Amendment, FDA, that came in 2010, sections 20 and 22, 20 and 21 of Article 3, that specifically said, if you read it, and districts shall not be drawn with the intent or result of denying or abridging the equal opportunity of racial or language minorities to participate in the political process. Which sounds good because you're trying to protect minorities. The problem is, you didn't protect majorities. You said, well, Andrew, how do you need to protect racial majorities? The 15th Amendment says you cannot deprive anybody on account of race. So if you help black people, you're hurting white people. If you help white people, you're hurting black people. You're not supposed to hurt anybody in this process or help anybody in this process. It's supposed to be race neutral. Therefore, the FDA in 2010 that amended our Constitution is unconstitutional, is how DeSantis is interpreting it. I think he's right. The FDA also says that you cannot draw districts for partisan purposes and you cannot draw districts to favor incumbents because that is baked into the rest of the amendment or the act. Then you cannot have any of it. None of it stands because it's not so-called severability is the issue here. And so he thinks you can basically do what you want as long as you're not doing it for race and you are doing it for compactness, contiguity, historical existence of a community, those kinds of factors. All right, that's a long way of explaining what happened yesterday because the Senate did ratify these maps. They are now officially going to be in place, but they're going to be challenging the courts. All right, so they have partisan advantage. At least I think they do. Republicans are going to pick up 4 seats most likely in Congress. They're going to go from having 8 Democrats to having 4 Democrats. How can that be okay? I hate that part. I hate that part. I'm Andrew McKay. I hate redistricting for the purpose of partisan advantage. The ideal map would be a map that Republicans look at and be like, cool. And then Democrats look at it and be like, cool. That would be the ideal map. In fact, the ideal map would be one that when you have dominant power, like Republicans do in Florida, we would pass. And then if Democrats came back in power, they would be like, we don't need to change that. It's fair. Unfortunately, we live in a time when it's very difficult to get that. That's just the reality. It's very difficult to get that. So we have a problem here where the Florida legislature has now approved a map that I think has partisan benefit to it. I don't know how you'd read it otherwise. Okay, I think it definitely benefits Republicans. That's legal if you believe that the FDA from 2010 has been rendered moot from the Supreme Court. So it's legal, but also, is it wrong? That's a complicated question. And we're going to talk more about this next hour, but my short answer goes like this. It's wrong if taken in isolation, Florida as doing its own thing, being partisan. It's not necessarily wrong if Florida is trying to react to or take into account the context of Virginia's illegal moves, California's illegal. You know, like, there's a context here where other states have done this wrong, and should we ignore that in the way we do it, or should we account for that in the way we do it? And that is not an easy thing to figure out. But ethically speaking, on its own, I think it would be wrong. In the context of what other states have done and their effort to steal the House through redistricting, I can live with it. And that's where I fall. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right, and no accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. It looks like everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Attention on deck, Pensacola. Mark your calendars for the Pensacola Navy Day celebration, May 8th through the 10th, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off on Friday, May 8th, with a golf tournament and black tie night at the museum gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On Saturday, May 9th, don't miss the 4K run walk and patriotic parade through downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Plaza de Luna with a family fun fest. And Sunday, May 10th, join us at Museum Plaza for a special Modern El Dorados concert presented by the City of Pensacola. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.org for details, lodging specials, and how to get involved.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Praritz.
One of my favorite moments is when a business owner sees our ADX Digital Toolbox and they sit back in their chair and they have this look of surprise on their face and they say, I had no idea you guys did all of this. We have 19 ways to deliver your message to your specific audience inside your geographic footprint with reporting that proves its effectiveness, all for less than you might expect.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough.
If you know the movie, know what was behind the blue. All right, let's see. David Wayne is in the news from this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The U.S. naval blockade of Iranian ports has now reportedly turned away at least 42 ships in the Strait of Hormuz. The head of U.S. Central Command says that since the U.S. began turning back ships, there's now over 40 tankers with 69 million barrels of oil that the Iranian regime has not been able to sell. King Charles and Queen Camilla paid tribute to the victims of the September 11th terror attacks during their trip to New York yesterday. They kicked off their trip to New York with a visit to the 9/11 Memorial. And San Diego International Airport says a pilot approaching for a landing saw a drone Wednesday morning, but apparently was able to avert it, not strike the drone. The pilot of a United Airlines plane reported seeing the drone about 1,000 feet below the aircraft as it was coming in for a landing.
Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody's going to ask the question, well, if we cannot draw districts on the basis of race, what happens to District 3 in Escambia County for ECUA school board and the commission? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about that with Alex Andrade coming up next.
President Trump reportedly set to be briefed by CENTCOM on new military action against Iran. Fox's Brian Yenis.
For now, President Trump has opted to extend the U.S. blockade on Iranian ports, calling the blockade, quote, genius and foolproof in crippling Iran's economy. But the president is also warning Iran that he is weighing another wave of military strikes, warning them to, quote, get smart soon and agree to a deal that ends its nuclear weapons program.
Now, gas prices hitting $4.30 today, according to AAA, up 19 cents since Monday. Alleged White House Correspondents' Center gunman Cole Allen is set to appear in court for his detention hearing today.
At today's detention hearing, prosecutors will ask the judge to keep Cole Allen behind bars while he awaits charges on attempting to assassinate the president.
Fox's Chaley Painter, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 70 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies across the area, and we will get a look at our forecast from Marion Caldwell and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Pensacola man is in jail on a DUI manslaughter and vehicular homicide charge. This is in connection with a crash that killed a 17-year-old on Highway 29 last year. The Florida Highway Patrol says 26-year-old Terrell Reese was driving 117 miles per hour in a 40-mile-per-hour zone when his car slammed into another vehicle on Thanksgiving Day of 2025. A teenager was ejected and died at the scene. Reese's blood alcohol level was between 0.09 and 0.16, according to FHP. He's being held without bond pending a bond hearing. The Escambia High School Gators are asking for community support to make it to their state regional semifinal series this weekend after back-to-back travel weeks have stretched the program's budget. The team needs $10,000 for a charter bus, hotel, and food for Friday and Saturday's best of three series against Clay High School in Green Cove Springs. So far, about $2,100 has been raised. Coach Tracy King says last week's trip to Jacksonville alone cost $9,500. Donations can be made online. A Fort Walton Beach man has pleaded guilty to stealing payment card information from customers while working at a desk in Wendy's. Marcus Bernard Clark reportedly photographed more than 200 credit and debit cards belonging to customers while he worked at the restaurant in 2022. The images were discovered on his phone during an unrelated criminal investigation. Clark now faces up to 12 years in prison. He's scheduled to be sentenced on July 16th in Pensacola. Well, if you make the commute from North Escambia County, traffic changes could be on the way that'll affect your trip.
Okay, here's the question for the morning. Are additional lane expansions coming to Highways 29 and 97? A Regional Transportation Committee meeting May 21st to review priority projects, including a plan to widen Highway 29 to six lanes. This is from the 10 freeway to the Alabama state line, and a four-lane expansion of Highway 97 from Molino to Atmore. NorthEscambia.com reports both projects are part of the Rural Transportation Plan aimed at improving mobility and safety across the Tri-County region. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Escambia County Animal Welfare is offering free adoptions on dogs and cats 1 year and older through May 17th. Now, this is part of the Bissell Pet Foundation's Empty the Shelters event, which is the nation's largest funded adoption event and has helped almost 400,000 pets find homes since 2016. A $15 licensing fee does apply for Escambia County residents. Puppies are $50, kittens $25. The shelter on West Fairfield Drive is open weekdays from noon to 5, weekends from 11 to 4. And if you want to see what pets they have available at the moment, check out 24PetConnect.com. And it's 6:35 at News Radio, 92.3, cloudy, 70 degrees. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. But if you're on Highway 29, just south of 10 Mile Road, going southbound toward 9 Mile Road, you can experience just a minor delay. That's all I see. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Showers likely on your Thursday morning as well as into the afternoon. Temperatures starting out in the 70s and not doing a whole lot of warming up from there, as we will be left with overcast skies outside of any showers that do develop throughout the day. Friday and into the weekend, rain chances staying in the forecast before we dry out Sunday and into the start of next week. I'm meteorologist Marianne Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Forecast.
We've got 70 degrees. It's a cloudy morning. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Shares of auto giant Stellantis fell 7% after the company reported a near tripling of its adjusted operating income in the first 3 months of the year, supported by improved sales in its key North American market. Stellantis posted first quarter adjusted operating income of nearly $1.2 billion, comfortably beating analyst expectations. Eli Lilly reported first quarter earnings and revenue that blew past estimates as demand for its blockbuster weight loss drug Zepbound and diabetes treatment Mounjaro spikes. Lilly hiked its full-year sales outlook by $2 billion and also raised its adjusted profit guidance. Merck reported first-quarter results that also topped estimates on strong demand for its cancer immunotherapy Keytruda and some newer products. The pharmaceutical giant also narrowed its 2026 sales guidance and hiked its adjusted profit outlook. Futures are slightly higher as oil prices decline. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 280, the NASDAQ up 9. That's your money now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Big renovation plans? Don't pay big prices. Now, Home Outlet in-store doorbuster deals are live. Save $2 a square foot on hybrid waterproof oak flooring. Now just $198. Interior door units, any size, starting at only $99. Or upgrade your bathroom vanity for just $219. Plus, deep savings on countertops, exterior doors, bathroom fixtures, and more. But hurry, these doorbuster deals won't last. In-store at Home Outlet Pensacola location only. Find us at homeoutlet.com.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So seductive. I take you to the candy shop. I let you the lollipop.
So that additional 1.8 million people, are they all Republican? Why is the map so red, especially the one that was sent to Fox News?
Senator Gates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, in my dreams, they would all be Republicans. But I don't believe that that is the case.
In my dreams, they would all be Republicans. I got to give credit to Don Gates, our state senator, yesterday managing the conversation around the redistricting. Incredibly statesmanlike and also occasionally, when justified, quite funny, as is the norm, if you know Don. And I do not that. I mean, I know him okay. I wouldn't say we're like the closest people or anything, but, you know, that is absolutely a good representation of him. In my dreams, they would all be Republicans. Joining us now, Alex Andrade, who I know also has a great deal of respect for Senator Gates. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, our state representative from District 2.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. And by the way, in his extended time as our representative, you know, under normal circumstances, you would have been done with the job. But you get this extra session, you get a budget extra session coming in 2 weeks. You get, you know, the governor just must want you back in Tallahassee a lot.
He just misses me so much.
Yeah, I figured that was the case. All right. First of all, let's just get it out of the way. The budget session is coming in 2 weeks, right?
Yes. So starting May 12th, the House and the Senate, we will reconstitute our budgets. The agreement has been like we will repass in both the House and the Senate the identical budgets that we passed during session to put them in the right posture for us to then go into the negotiation. We call it conference, where you'll see offers back and forth over the course of several days so we can negotiate our budget. I'm very excited that we're going to have like public negotiations this year. It'll feel good to actually have some, you know, transparency and, you know, engagement in that process again.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll look forward to, I mean, you know, I never can honestly say I look forward to budget discussions, but it is the big business of government and it is how money and taxes work. So it's important, obviously. And before we get to the redistricting, which is the big thing, the special session had been called for redistricting, vaccines, and AI. And my read was that the legislature, both House and Senate, essentially told DeSantis to pound sand on doing AI and vaccines right now, right?
Well, no. I mean, the Senate, they had a bill on AI and a bill on vaccines, but the House, no one filed anything. And to the point about what's the reason for a special session, special sessions, by the virtue of their name, should be only in special circumstances. DeSantis, I mean, we as the Florida House, we've passed vaccine and medical freedom bills in the past, like just last legislative session, we passed a medical freedom bill. But, you know, DeSantis tried again on specific policies on medical freedom and AI this year, and they both died during regular session. Failing in your attempts at advocating for a bill during regular session does not, you know, satisfy the threshold that I think is required for you to call a special session.
Agreed.
It's closer to like a tantrum than a justifiable reason to have a special. So, he tried during regular session, didn't work. So we just didn't see the importance of it.
What about property taxes? That keeps being the, oh, we're going to do it, but that didn't happen either, right? And that's still not scheduled to happen either, right?
DeSantis has hinted at the fact that he will propose a weaker, less stringent property tax proposal than the Florida House passed, and he will do it sometime in June. So even when we're done with the budget, he'll still want to see my face in Tallahassee. So can't wait to spend more time with our great governor.
And super conveniently, that would come after all of the preliminary budget work that's being done by every local government. So, cool. Okay, we'll move on. Just enough for now. So, I have questions about the decision that was made yesterday. This is my chance to wrangle with you just a little bit. I've been doing a lot of explaining of what happened yesterday and how it was intended. My own take was, this seems so clearly to benefit our party, your party, my party, Republicans, that it was a partisan violation of Section, 20, I think is the congressional one, of Article 3. It was so clearly a partisan benefit that that would cause me to absolutely oppose it under normal circumstances. The only way I can talk myself into holding my nose and supporting it is given what's happened in Virginia and California and is happening around the country and the effort to steal the next House election by redistricting inappropriately. Your thoughts?
Well, are we debating about disparate intent or disparate outcome, right? Like, and a lot of times when you're talking about, the net effect of something versus the intent of something, they're two different answers. I don't happen to think the criminal justice system is inherently racist just because our prison population has higher concentration of certain races over others. You know, like that's the outcome versus opportunity is always the type of, question. But at the forefront right now, because that Calais decision came out, prior to us in the House voting on it or the Senate voting on it, and it said you cannot draw a map based on race outside of exceptions that didn't apply here.
Right.
We did draw maps based on race in 2022. That's how the case law, that's how the Supreme Court decisions that had come out previously required us to do it. And by the way, the Fair Districts Amendment in the Florida Constitution said you can't diminish, so presumably the interpretation of that is if you have six majority minority districts in 1960, regardless of how populations moved, shifted, changed, 60 years later, you can't have less than six, minority-majority districts, which became untenable. That's right. When we got gerrymandered. The only districts that were gerrymandered in the state of Florida in 2022 were the ones that we felt we had to, based on case law, to comply with that. So the only ones that were gerrymandered were Democrat-performing majority-minority districts. We did away with gerrymandering based on race yesterday, based on these maps. Whether or not, the folks that drew it, had specific or hyper-aggressive partisan intent, I challenge you to hold up the map that was passed yesterday in Florida and the way those districts are drawn to the maps of Illinois, Virginia, and California, and tell me which one is gerrymandered.
Well, those are two kind of answers in tension with each other. Because everything you said in the beginning I agree with, and everything that you said in the end, I agree with. But did Florida draw maps that are compact, geographically aligned, race blind, or did they draw maps that are, compact, geographically aligned, race blind, and to partisan advantage? And it's the "and to partisan advantage" part that looks problematic to me. But we'll come back to this in a second. We're talking to Alex Andrade. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you. Traffic is rolling smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So I know, Alex, you've had much more time. Alex Andrade, you've had much more time to look at the particulars of the maps. You know the state maps a lot better than I do. Some of the objections that were raised during the debate yesterday about, carving up districts or drawing lines that, looked problematic for political purpose, even putting aside that the no partisan gerrymandering part of the Fair District Amendment has probably been struck down now because it can't be severed from the other parts, I still don't want them to be gerrymandered for political purpose. You look at the maps. Do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage? Those are the two questions.
The first question, yes, I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Calais decision, and it provided the justification to pass the map yesterday. As far as the partisan advantage, I'm trying to figure out the best analogy. You draw your maps, you have like 15 different options, and you make sure that the program that you use to draw those maps does not at all have any data set
that references the registration of each household.
Okay.
You draw those 15 maps, and then you send those maps to 20 of your friends, and two of them, you know, say, like, plug them into a different data set to figure out which one has the most Republican districts in it based on registration. At some point, someone's going to plug that data set in. I don't know if it's the first person that's drawing the map or the you know, the 160th person voting on it when it gets to the legislature. Everyone will know, like, the party registration of each district before it's passed by the legislature, just by virtue of the fact that we're human, competitive, and we'd like to know and try and predict in game. I don't have a crystal ball. Cannot tell you how these maps will perform in November as far as partisan performance.
Right.
And it's just as likely that by diluting Republicans out of, you know, some districts and, you know, having some, like, more weak Republican registration districts, you lose seats. That is just as distinct a possibility, because you're spreading out, you know, your Republican votes at the same time that you're redistributing, you know, mapped like districts.
Yeah, if you crack dark blue into light blue, it can only be done by also cracking dark red into light red. I mean, that's by definition. Yeah. If you're going to gain, Republicans in a district, you have to have lost them somewhere else, right?
Exactly. And it's the same with the race-based considerations. I've always looked at it by, okay, if we're going to concentrate all minority votes into this one congressional district, aren't we essentially just putting them in a corner? You draw maps that are compact and contiguous, and then suddenly, you know, if 15% of the vote is suddenly a minority vote in this district that was 100% white or majority previously, well, then suddenly some enterprising candidate is going to realize, I could go and focus on this 15% and have a distinct advantage. You know, like, you, by focusing on race or even focusing on something like, you know, party registration, you're doing yourself a disservice, because while folks might think voters are dumb, they're not. And, you know, partisan performance and outcome in November is going to depend on the quality of candidates, how hard they work, you know, how folks feel about the way and the trajectory of the country. Just because we drew some maps that are compact and contiguous, like, you look at our map and it does not look gerrymandered. Whereas I challenge you to look at California's and Illinois's and tell me the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Or the previous Florida maps that we've remedied. I mean, it's really crazy to look at those. And especially with the high percentage of no party affiliate, or just plain independent, even if they're not registered in that way, you don't know exactly. Because as you say, on the one hand, it's not like they're all Republicans. On the second hand, many people, you know, actually vote for people instead of voting for party. And so it's a question of what happens. And Taylor, I actually loved what Jason Pizzo had to say yesterday, in the sense that if this is such an outrage, if this is such a horrible violation of good ethics or law, then, you know, ride the blue wave, baby. You guys are going to win huge in November. And that'll kind of prove the point that the voters really do care about this and that it was wrong to have done.
Yeah, and all I can say is, when you look at the map, like, I feel like Taylor Swift would love it. There are zero snakes in our map. Like, there's no snakes. Like,
nice. Which is always the, like, and for people, that's if you look at the Louisiana map that the Supreme Court struck down, I mean, that was an obviously gerrymandered district. I mean, so obviously that you can't not think that. Same as in Illinois, as you said, same as in California, and so forth. The next implication, and I know, you know, this isn't exactly your domain to decide, it's the county commission, but the practical application, particularly of Calais, is it looks to me like District 3 in Escambia County, which produces a majority-minority district, a black district, that is, even when we did redistricting, we were literally counting black and white voters to make sure that we had the right percentage, you know, for County Commission, Escambia School Board, and also for the ECUA. That looks unconstitutional to me now. What do you think?
As they say, it's unconstitutional because it was done in compliance with, a court order, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Whether or not the impetus of Calais would justify or require, if someone filed a suit against the county, to redraw their maps and eliminate any discussion or consideration of race is a different question. If I'm, you know, the commissioners, I might want to take up, like, probably, you know, get a legal opinion sooner rather than later, and then, you know, maybe consider, you know, redrawing the map. And it doesn't have to look that much different. Like, they could literally take up an identical county commission map, say, you know, we're going to pass this map that is nearly identical solely because, like, the voters in each district are familiar with their numbers. That would be sufficient.
Yeah.
Like, it's not some earth-shattering, but they might have to actually retake up the question of their maps and say, okay, we gotta eliminate all discussion of race when we're talking about this.
Yeah, and in the redistricting is going to come again in a few years. Certainly, we're going to have to not have the conversation about how many whites were moving here and how many blacks were moving there. One last quick question for you, Alex, before we let you go is, on seeking a legal opinion about that redistricting, would they be coming to ask future county attorney Alex Andrade about this problem?
If you thought for a second no. Not in my future. Not even a consideration. Love the commissioners. Love the county staff. No, I'm good. I'll pass.
That is as hard a pass as I have ever heard you make on anything. And I figured that would be the case for all kinds of reasons. Alex, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.
6:55 on News Radio 92.3. It's fun to speculate about things that are never, ever going to happen. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I know, right? Okay, so no accidents still. We're rolling accident-free. Let's see here. If you're on Highway 29 southbound, just south of 10 Mile Road, approaching 9 Mile Road, expect about a six-minute delay in that area, but that's all I'm seeing. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You've got things inside your house that need to be worked on, complicated systems like electrical or like plumbing or heating or air conditioning, or maybe you've got a generator that's electrical. Okay. Peden, they can take care of all of that stuff. You know, they started just with, you know, air conditioning and heating, but then gradually they expanded their product line and their geography from Panama City. You know, they went all the way to here to Pensacola for a long time in Ellison Field, east to Tallahassee, then more recently west again into Baldwin County and into Mobile, and then product lines as well, including plumbing, electrical, and 100% satisfaction guarantee on all their work and good quality products and people and installations and all of that. And so they've established a reputation as the all of that company along the Gulf Coast. And this spring, you can get 2 years of SmartCare for free with your new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 when Jessica Simpson, the president of the Pensacola Beach Chamber, will be talking about the Art and Wine Festival, what makes this year's event different from previous years, and the Chamber's partnership with the Pensacola Beach Lifeguards. That's all today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jessica Simpson and the Pensacola Beach Chamber.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Looking for the ultimate family beach house right here on Pensacola Beach? Casa de Luna is a huge ground-level home with 9 bedrooms, 8 baths, private heated pool, and room to sleep 26 adults. No stairs to haul coolers and kids. You walk right out to your own pool or take a short stroll to our amazing white sand golf beaches. It's perfect for family reunions, wedding groups, church retreats, or big friends getaways. There are multiple king suites, plenty of porch space, and a special game porch for the whole family. And right now, they're offering special rates for locals on select dates, so you don't have to get on a plane to feel like you're on vacation. Call 850-485-7222 for more information or to book your dates. That's 850-485-7222. See photos and details at CasaDeLunaPensacola.com. That's CasaDeLunaPensacola.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wow! Wow!
Wow! What a difference!
discover the blockbuster difference.
I wish I could.
The good old days.
I know. I wish I could. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Well, President Trump has lost his appeal in the E. Jean Carroll defamation lawsuit to federal appeals court in New York yesterday, rejecting the president's request for a rehearing of the $83 million judgment against him. E. Jean Carroll was awarded $5 million in 2023.
Thanks so much, David. Somebody text Andrew. What is the purpose of drawing the new maps in the first place? Glad you asked. I will answer that in depth coming up. And what did the Supreme Court decide?